We've been looking forward to harvest. And imagine I'd stood up in church a few months ago and say, by the way, this autumn there won't be any harvest unless I say so. There won't be any rain unless I say so. Well, I didn't, and I think if I had, you might have said, who does he think he is? What an upstart, talking like that. Well, I have occasionally said things that aren't true like that. I once announced on a postcard that I had decided to become Bishop of Salisbury. I was on holiday writing postcards. I know people don't write postcards much, but we still do. And I just got tired of saying, it's lovely being here, wish you were here too, lovely weather, and so on. So I just said to an elderly lady in North London, I said, dear Dorothy, I have decided to become Bishop of Salisbury with immediate effect. Lots of love, Giles. Put a stamp on it, put in the letterbox, and thought no more about it. For a little while. And then a postcard came congratulating me on this. It came from Scotland. And this dear lady in North London had taken me seriously, which I would have thought by now she would have learnt not to do. And she had told her friends in the church that she belonged to. And they said, well, we always thought he'd go far, and nice things like that. And then they told other people, and I had cards of congratulation, just because I had stood up and said, until one more level-headed member of the church said, I don't believe it. And he rang the diocesan office at Salisbury to say, I understand that there is to be a new bishop. His name is Giles Walter, currently in Tunbridge Wells. And they had heard nothing of me. They assured the caller that the bishop had no intention of resigning and that if he did, they wouldn't appoint me. Dear Dorothy was very upset, and I spent a long time smoothing ruffled feathers. She felt I'd made her look terribly silly, and I felt very sorry. What an upstart. And here's Elijah, who's a nobody, who comes along and says, there's not going to be any rain for the next few years. There'll only be any rain when I say so. You think, who's this? But, you know, it came true because Elijah had said what he said at the command of the Lord God, who made the heavens and the earth and loves to send the sun and the rain and to bring forth food from the earth. Elijah didn't just say it to anybody. Elijah said it to Ahab. Ahab was the king of Israel. And Ahab was a bad king, which didn't help. But worst of all, he was married to Jezebel, who was a wicked woman. She was a thoroughly evil woman. And therefore, he may have been an upstart, but he was also a pretty brave upstart. Because you'd be in danger of your life if you talked like that, not so much to Ahab, but to Jezebel, his dreadful, dreadful wife. But sure enough, it came true, and there was famine in the land. It dried up. Now, we know about famines today, and famines happen, and it's very sad, and they are not God's judgment on a particular country. This was a one-off, because this particular part of the world, of the Middle East, was given to these particular people by God. And they were his people in that plot of land, and they had disobeyed him and wandered far from him and gone off chasing this other ridiculous god, this non-god, called Baal. So we mustn't think that if there's a famine somewhere else, it's because God is angry with the people. But here, because they'd said, we think Baal is the real God, we're going to worship him because we can't live without Baal, God said, I'm going to send a famine on the land. That was especially sad because this land that they'd come into was the one that he'd prepared specially for them. It was called a land flowing with milk and honey, which meant that it was prosperous and green and beautiful and had everything there for them. And so it's especially sad that this land that God had given is now going to dry up. And Elijah says there's not going to be any more rain until I say so. It doesn't sound very nice, though, does it? Somebody says, well, it's not very nice of God to stop the rain coming and people be hungry and really hungry and the animals be really hungry. It doesn't sound like God thought he was meant to be generous. Well, we'll come to that in a moment. Elijah's been very brave. He's gone to this weak king and his dreadful wife, the queen, and he knows that he's got to hide. And God says, you go a long way away. You go right east of the Jordan. And there's a brook, a little stream there. You just settle there on your own, and I'll send the ravens to feed you. Now, that's interesting in itself, because ravens tend to take things rather than bring things. But because God is still the Lord of heaven and earth and everything that he has made, he decides to send the ravens. And every morning they come with bread and meat. And there is water in the stream. And every evening the ravens come again with bread and meat. And there's water in the stream. Beats Amazon, doesn't it? Absolutely. Ravens. Have you had your food delivered by ravens? How wonderful. For Elijah sitting by the stream and having his water, knowing that there is a famine in the land, but God is looking after him. The ravens bring bread and meat morning and night. But the time comes, because the rain doesn't come, as he said, then the little stream dries up and he can't drink anymore. We can live without food for a bit. We can't live without water. At that point, God says, now it's time to go. No, you've got to leave here, and you've got to go a long way over right to the other side of the country. And you've got to go to a place called Zarephath. And Zarephath is a place where people all worshipped Baal. They didn't know the true God of Israel. They worshipped Baal, this non-God, this stupid God. But that's what they all did there. And God said to Elijah, I've got a woman there. She's a widow. She's lost her husband. She's got a son. And she hasn't got much else. And she's going to look after you. I have told her that she's to look after you. And Elijah goes all the way across and he finds this widow of Zarephath. And he says, hello, I've come. And please, could you cook me a little meal? And she says, well, I've got just a little oil. And I've just got a little flour. But I haven't got anything else. It's all I got left because of the famine. And I'll do as you say. I'll make a little meal for me and my son and you, and then we'll die because we have nothing else. And she does that. She makes the little meal, and all three of them eat. And Elijah says that God has promised that day in, day out, this little jar of oil and this little bag of flour, however much she uses it, there will always be a little bit left and enough for another meal. And that's even more wonderful than the ravens coming. Just, it never runs out. There's just enough. And once again, they're discovering God sits in the highest place, but he holds his faithful people in his hands. How wonderful that God is like that. And Jesus knew and loved that story. And he referred to it. He knew that it was true, that it had happened, and he referred to it. He said there's a lot to learn from it. She couldn't go off to Sainsbury's to get more because Sainsbury's was empty. Nobody had. But he provided for this lady. Good times and bad times, he looks after his people. He is never taken off the throne, whether people worship him or not. Back to Elijah. Well, back to the famine in the land. And we've seen how God marvelously provided for his servant, first at the brook with the ravens, and then right the other side of the country, the widow, and her little bag of flour, which never ever ran out, however much she used it, and her little jar of oil, which was always full, however much she used it. How wonderfully God provided for his servant. But you might think, what about everybody else? All very well for him. There's still famine in the land. Yeah. It's all very well for Elijah and God looking after him. What about everybody else? That's not very nice of God. Sending a famine, keeping the rain back when they need it. Well, you might think so, but it's not like that really. Imagine it's birthday party time. You've got a birthday and somebody has come with a present for you, and you look at them, you seize the present and you clear off somewhere else, and you sit there and you say, oh, I like this present, and you open it and you enjoy it, and you completely ignore the person who gave it to you. So would you do that? You wouldn't do that at your birthday party, would you? No. Would you? Daniel, you wouldn't. No, of course you wouldn't. No, nobody. That'd be a terrible way. Nobody else would give you a present again if you did that. Oh, I want this. I don't want you. Not interested in you. But you see, that's what had happened in this place of Israel. God had given them all these lovely things, and he wanted to share them share these things with his people, like being at a party. Share the things together. But they'd said, we like it here. We don't believe in you. We don't like you. In fact, they sort of unfriended him. If God had been on Facebook, he'd have gone unfriended. And instead, they went and chose another God, because if we don't serve the true God, we all serve something. We all worship something. As we were hearing last week, some of us, someone says, I'm not religious. The reply is, oh, yes, you are. We're all religious. It's just a question of whether you worship the right thing or the right person. Anyway, they went off and they chose another God, this non-existent, stupid God called Baal. And they decided they'd have him as their God instead of the true God, who'd been so kind to them and was the sovereign creator, the one who made heaven and earth and controlled everything that happened in it. Now, God knew that they would ruin themselves doing that, as he knows today, that anyone ruins themselves at the end of the day by going after things that are not God's, by giving ourselves to lifestyles or careers or even things like education, whatever it is. We can make a God out of other things, and God says, no, they're sort of idols. You ought to worship me, and that's only when you worship me that life will make sense through the Lord Jesus. And that's why he sends the famine, because he's kind of disciplining them to bring them back to his senses. He loves them too much to wander away. And still as a father, he disciplines his children. Christian people know that. And we wander from him, and one way or another, we may know his discipline, because he loves us. And he wants us to bring him back, bring us back to himself. Now, it all came to a head, as the ark know full well. Who knows what happens next on Mount Carmel? I hope you've been listening. You've been hearing all about it just the other day. Right, okay, well, we're going to... It all came to a head on this mountain called Mount Carmel, because the famine had been going on for a long time, and so people listened to Elijah at last, and Ahab and everybody listened. And Elijah said, now look, it's time to discover again who the real God is. Now, all these people, and there were 400 prophets, servants of this stupid god Baal, leading the people astray. There were 400. Well, I don't think I can ask for 400 prophets of Baal, but I'd like three or four. Could I have some prophets of Baal who are prepared to come and dance around? Don't worry, you won't have to cut yourself like in the story, but I would like one. Come, who'd like to come be a prophet? You need to be able to shout rather loudly to Baal in the hope that he'll hear you. You need to shout, Baal, answer us, Baal. I need three or four people. Gosh, we're all very quiet this morning, so nobody wants to do that. One at the end. Good. Come on then, Ben. Well done. Now, there were 400. I don't think we had Ben on his own. Come on, let's have some more. All right. Are you ready to shout loud today? Yep, really loud, because Baal is a long way away, and God's hearing. One, two, three. Well done. Can we have I think we need a fourth. Yep, all right, fourth. We've got a lady prophet, a prophetess of Baal. Great, okay? Now, what Elijah said was, look, we'll make a couple of bonfires up on the mountain, and we won't use any matches or firelighters or anything like that. We'll just have the wood, okay? And we're starting with this one over here, all right? Now, we just have the wood, and any god worthy of the name should be able to light his own fire. That's the point. So if Baal really is God, then presumably if you shout to him and say, please light the fire, it'll work, yeah? And it'll prove that he really is God. And if he doesn't, then he's not. And the same, there's another one here. We'll call this the bonfire for the God of Israel. And we'll ask him to. And if that works, then he's the true God. Does that sound all right? And all the people are getting a bit hungry and thirsty by this stage. So they say, yeah, that makes sense. That's good. So we'll try Baal first. Here is Baal's sort of altar. And they put a bull on top, bull of sacrifice. And then, okay, now I want you to go round and round and round, stamping as you go and shouting to Baal as loud as you can, Baal, answer us. And after a little while, we'll all join in. Come on, off you go. Round you go. Baal, answer us. Up there. Baal, answer us. I think they need a bit of help. Come on, we'll all try. Baal, answer us. Baal, answer us. Baal, answer us. All right, okay. Well, you carry on walking around, hopefully. And Elijah, you know they do this all day. they go around all day shouting, Baal, answer us. And Elijah says, I don't think you're shouting loud enough. I tell you what Baal's doing up there. He's writing his doctoral thesis and you shouldn't disturb him. There he is. There we are. So he's writing his doctorate and the door's shut. So please don't disturb me. I'm busy, says Baal. Perhaps he's doing that. Or perhaps he's doing something else. What else might he be? Perhaps he's just fast asleep. Poor old Baal. It was such hard work. It was such hard work sort of trying to be a god when he was. He just fell asleep. And he's very deeply asleep. You have to shout loudly, Baal, answer us. Oh, fast asleep. Taking a sleeper pill. Next. Perhaps he's on the loo. He's doing a poo. Ah, come on. Oh, you mustn't interrupt somebody when he's on the loo. That's really far too embarrassing. Very embarrassing if your mobile goes when you're on the loo, isn't it? Hi, where are you? I'm just here. Yeah, come on, Baal's on the loo. They better wait till he's finished. Poor old Baal. Oh, dear. Well, maybe he's just gone off on holiday. Perhaps that's it. And, you try and Google him and it'll say out of office till the end of November. Yeah, come on, keep going all day long. And you can start cutting yourselves, which is what they did. Come on, slash themselves. That's right, blood gushes out. Blood gushes out. And they go on to morning, lunchtime, afternoon. And there's complete silence. No one answers. And nothing happens. So I think the prophets had better go back where they came from. Because it's fairly plain. Thank you, prophets. It just didn't work. What does that show? Baal can't do it. He's useless. And the reason he's useless is he doesn't exist. At that point, Elijah says to all the people, now you come over here. And they come rather quietly and thoughtfully. And they come over. And Elijah builds his own bonfire. Except his bonfire is slightly different. To make sure that nobody could accuse him of trickery, he fills a large jug with water. He pours it all over. And then he fills it again. And he pours the water all over. And again. And he soaks the wood. Have you ever tried lighting a bonfire with soaked wood? I have. Miserable business. And it doesn't work. And everybody's watching. And what does Elijah do? Elijah prays. He gets down on his knees. And he says, Lord God, Sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, please show everyone today that you are the one true God and call these people back to follow you. And he does. And he prays. He stopped and prayed. And to show that the Lord is the real true God, fire comes down from heaven and lights the fire. And everybody says, no, amazing. The Lord is God, not Baal. The Lord is God. It's a slightly tame flame. The Lord is God. And they all shout, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And they find it, and it's crystal clear. And the prophets of Baal go off rightly to a sad end. Well, actually, it was much more exciting than this. This one isn't even hot. I don't think it's going to burn much wood. But anyway, the whole thing went up in a tremendous explosion of flame, which we can't possibly imitate, because the point was God did it. I'm afraid I did this with a bit of electrics, but that's different. God did it to show that he is the one true God. And they rediscovered it, and they came back to him. Now, you and I know more than they did. They said, what did they say? The Lord, he is God. Let's just add that together, including those prophets who were shouting the wrong direction. What do you hear you say loud and clear? The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And that was a great thing to know. We know better than that today. We know the Lord is God, and we know that Jesus is the Lord. He is the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, God's one and only Son, unique, risen from the dead, and the same yesterday, today, and forever, with open arms to welcome all who will put their trust in him. Sovereign Lord of heaven and earth. The Lord is God, and Jesus, as we sang just now, is the Lord. That's a message the whole world needs to know. And Elijah says to Ahab, you better go and get your umbrella, mate. It's going to rain pretty hard. And he sends his servant up to the top of the mountain to go and look for the rain on the horizon. The servant comes back saying, can't see any. Sends him up seven times. Go and have another look, another look, another look, another look, another look, another look. And the eighth time, the servant comes back and says, I've just seen a little cloud. First one for years on the horizon. Go and look again, says Elijah. And the servant says, it's getting bigger. And then before very long, the heavens opened and the rains came and God blessed his people with food and drink once more. What a lovely picture it is, because he loved them. He so wanted them not to wander from him, but to stay with him and to know his favor. I wonder if anybody here is just a bit conscious of wandering from Jesus today. Let's not do that. Never works. Let's pray that he'll keep us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you too for your great power, that all the world is yours. Everything here is here because you made it. We thank you again for food and drink for our tables, and pray again for those who do not have enough, that you would supply their need. But even more than that, we want to thank you that you loved your people enough to discipline them and to bring them back in order that you could continue to favor them and they might know your kindness. And we pray that we may not only know the Lord and serve the Lord Jesus, but may be kept from wandering from him, so that we too may know your goodness in our lives day by day. And so hear our prayer. We ask, Sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, in Jesus' name, amen.